Welcome, everyone. For those in the USA, happy 4th of July. Want to make sure I say that. Also want to let you know that anybody who's heard me tell my story today, I went to a baseball game, a professional baseball game. I want to let you know that I was online at a merchandise store during the fourth inning. And at that time, as most of you know, I always talk about the last Yankees World Series I went to, where I actually made it in the stadium until the end of the ninth inning. Well, today, while I was online during the fourth inning, I actually saw security removing somebody just like me, behaving just like me, from the Atlanta Braves Stadium. Because that's just what happens to people like me. I was laughing to myself as I was watching the whole thing go down. I also want to say, just share with you that I have, you know, whenever we talk about the traditions, we have to talk about why they're so important. And why they're so important is that it really doesn't matter that the rest of us are in Alcoholics Anonymous today, July 4th, 2021. Congratulations, you're here. But we have a more important responsibility, which is to make sure Alcoholics Anonymous is here tomorrow on July 5th, 2021. That while we work the program a day at a time, that doesn't mean we don't need to do everything today possible to make sure that AA is still here for the person who's not here yet. That is the ultimate reason for the traditions. I was happened to be reorganizing because I get behind and then I don't catch up and then it becomes a major project. So I have a major project going on right now regarding my AA emails and any kind of notes I've taken at conferences or pictures or scans of things. And I just want to share with you, since it's July 4th and independence is kind of, you know, probably the word of the day, I want to share with you something. I think it'll work when I do it, but it's pretty amazing. And then we can go into anonymity. Let me just let it all. Let's see if this works. So I think you can all see that. And that's a pretty amazing little painting there for sure. What's more amazing that I want to share with you is the next picture. What's more amazing is that that was painted by a member of Alcoholics Anonymous that lives in the death house at the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. A member of Alcoholics Anonymous who is currently on death row. It was painted with glue, string, and he was allowed to use Q-tips because of how strict security is in that facility. And, you know, the independence that one can get, even, and let me tell you something, I've been inside that building and I've been on the unit where they live. It's in Louisiana on the Mississippi River with no air conditioning in a very small cell, many men and women there. But there is more than one member of AA who live there who are free, regardless of their current conditions. That trip really changed my life. It was one of the most amazing, amazing AA experiences I've ever had. If you just look at this, That is the big book cover that the member of the men's maximum security AA group at Angola made for the guests in their shop. So that's why the traditions are important. So what I want to do is I want to read the short form and the long form of the 11th and 12th tradition first. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. The long form of Tradition 11, our relations with the general public should be characterized by personal anonymity. We think AA ought to avoid sensational advertising. Our names and pictures as AA members ought not be to be broadcast, filmed, or publicly printed. Our public relations should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. There is never the need to praise ourselves. We feel it better to let our friends recommend us. The short form of Tradition 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And then the long form of Tradition 12, and finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has an immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, that we are actually to practice a genuine humility. This to the end that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over all of us. So that's the technical part, right? We've read the 11th and 12th tradition, the short and the long form. What I thought that I would do tonight, because sometimes, it's we have so much great literature. So much great literature. And you can't read it all at once. You can't even read it all in 1 month. But books like AA Comes of Age and Language of the Heart, those are books that if you just take, even if you don't do 2 pages a day, if you're sober for good and for all, read 2 pages a week. I am going to use Language of the Heart tonight. I am going to go through some of my favorite paragraphs on anonymity. I also think it's important to point out that while we all get caught up talking about full face and last name and newspapers and Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and God knows what else, once you really read AA Comes of Age and Language of the Heart, the one theme that you will see clearly from Bill is that while he was concerned about 11th step, 11th tradition anonymity, his greater concern was 12th tradition anonymity. There is much more focus on the stories on 12th tradition anonymity, which is kind of like the forgotten tradition sometimes in today's world that we only live in an 11 tradition program. The first one I'm going to talk about is on page 13 of Language of the Heart. There's a AA story, grapevine story that Bill wrote called A Tradition Born of Anonymity. And here's what he says. In the years that lie ahead, the principle of anonymity will undoubtedly become part of our vital tradition. Even today, we sense its practical value. But more important still, we are beginning to feel that the word anonymous has for us an immense spiritual significance. Subtly but powerfully, it reminds us that we were always to place principles before personalities, that we have renounced personal glorification in public, that our movement not only preaches but actually practices a truly humble modesty. And I want to point out, I've searched, and maybe there is someone here who will correct me. And I will be minding my own business sometime next week, and I will get one of those emails that I love to get, where a member informs me that I was wrong. And it happens all the time. But I've searched as much as I could search in AA literature, and I can't find one other reference where we are ever told to preach, ever, except for this one. That our movement not only preaches, but actually practices a truly humble modesty. I find it interesting that the only place the word preaching is used is about humility and modesty. Again, referencing the 12th tradition side of anonymity. Bill goes on to say in that article, "Of course, it should be the privilege, even the right, of each individual or group to handle anonymity as they wish. But to do that intelligently, we shall need to be convinced that the principle is a good one for practically all of us. Indeed, we must realize that the future safety and effectiveness of Alcoholics Anonymous may depend upon its preservation. Each individual will have to decide where he ought to draw the line, how far he ought to carry the principle in his own affairs, how far he may go in dropping his own anonymity without injury to Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole." And then, this is before the traditions were adopted, I want to remind everyone. This is January of 1946, before even all the essays on the individual traditions appeared in the grapevine. 4 years before they were adopted in 1950 at the first international convention. But at the end of this article, Bill writes something very powerful. He writes, if I were asked to outline a tradition for anonymity, it might run as follows. Number one, it should be the privilege of each individual AA to cloak himself with as much personal anonymity as he desires. His fellow AAs should respect his wishes and help guard whatever status he wants to assume. Number two, conversely, the individual AA ought to respect the feeling of his local group as to anonymity. If his group wishes to be more anonymous than he does, he ought to go along with them until they change their views. Number three, with very rare exceptions, it ought to be a national tradition that no member of Alcoholics Anonymous shall ever feel free to publish his name or picture in connection with Alcoholics Anonymous activities in any medium of public circulation or by radio. Of course, this should not restrict the free use of his name in other public activities, provided he does not disclose his AA connection. Number four, if for some extraordinary reason, for the good of AA as a whole, a member thinks it's desirable to completely drop his anonymity, he should only do so after consulting the older members of his local group. That's before the traditions were adopted. And then we move on to March, same year, 2 months later, March of 1946. And Bill writes a couple of these. I want to read a couple of things that he wrote. First, I believe most of us would agree that the general idea of anonymity is sound because it encourages alcoholics and the families of alcoholics to approach us for help. Still fearful of being stigmatized, they regard our anonymity as an insurance their problems will be kept confidential, that the alcoholic skeleton in the family closet will not wander into the streets. I want to stress that. Because so often we hear in the outside world, especially the outside recovery world from AA, that we need to beat the stigma, that we need to shout from the rooftops that we're all in recovery. But what is Bill's number one concern? His number one concern is not those of us who are already sober. His number one concern is the people who aren't here yet. And what does he write? I'll just read it again. Because it encourages alcoholics and the families of alcoholics to approach us for help. I don't care what anyone tells me about removing the stigma. I know what newcomers tell me. I can assure you, and do this little test. Email me. Tell me I'm wrong. The next newcomer you get develop a relationship with, ask them the following question. Besides the people who encourage might be too weak a word, who maybe kick their ass into AA. So I'm not talking about their wife or their kids or their employment assistance counselor at work. I'm not talking about the people who knew they had a problem. Ask the newcomer you become friends with, did they shout out to the rest of the world of the people who didn't know they had a problem that they were going to their first AA meeting? Of course not. Because at that time, they didn't even know if they were going to stay in AA. They just knew they needed to go to AA, probably to get somebody off their back. And those people deserve our confidence. Those people deserve safety. And then Bill goes on to write, second, the policy of anonymity is a protection to our cause. It prevents our founders or leaders, so-called, from becoming household names who might at any time get drunk and give AA a black eye. No one say that that couldn't happen here. It could. Remember when this was written? This is 1946. In 1946, at that time called the Alcoholic Foundation, the Board of Trustees was majority non-alcoholic and minority alcoholic. That didn't change till 1966. And you know why? Because they were afraid if too many alcoholic members of the board drank, they wouldn't be able to have a quorum to get business done. The reality is, none of us is bulletproof. Bill goes on to also say, why does the general public regard us so favorably? Is it simply because we are bringing recovery to lots of alcoholics? No. This can hardly be the whole story. However impressed he may be by our recoveries, John Q. Public is even more interested in our way of life. Weary of pressure selling, spectacular promotion, and shouting public characters, he is refreshed by our quietness, modesty, and anonymity. It well may be that he feels a great spiritual power is being generated on this account, that something new has come into his own life. Again, this goes completely against what every other organization, charity, nonprofit, recovery or non-recovery does. In practice, the principle of anonymity seems to come down to this: the question of how far each individual or group shall go in dropping anonymity is left strictly to the individual or group concerned. The exception is that all groups or individuals, when writing or speaking for publication as members of Alcoholics Anonymous, feel bound never to disclose their true names, except for very rare cases. It is at this point of publication that nearly all of us feel we should draw the anonymity line. We ought not disclose ourselves to the general public. So there shouldn't be stories that use our last names and our pictures. And Bill has a simple one-line sentence. It's one line, but yet so powerful in the closing paragraph of that article. He says, great modesty and humility are needed by every AA for his own permanent recovery. That is a very simple one line. There is a great article, March of 1947, page 43 of Language of the Heart. It ties together affiliation and anonymity. and how the two go hand in hand. The title of the article is called Dangers in Linking AA to Other Projects. I want to read some of Bill's words here. But of late, some confusion has arisen because of the large amount of publicity linking the AA name and that of the educational project. The public tends to think AA as a whole has gone in for alcohol education. And when the AA name became associated in the public mind with a fundraising campaign, there was still more confusion. Some givers were under the impression they were contributing to AA, only to be told by friends that AA did not solicit money. Hence, a long-term liability of dropping anonymity is beginning to offset its short-term advantages. As experience makes this more clear, not only to me, but to my friends of the university and on the educational committee, they agree perfectly and are now endeavoring to correct the situation. Briefly summarizing, I'm rather sure our policy with respect to outside projects will turn out to be this. AA does not sponsor projects in other fields. But if these projects are constructive and non-controversial in character, AA members are free to engage in them without criticism if they act as individuals only and are careful of the AA name. So that's a big warning for those of us who might get in our professional life or our non-AA volunteer life, who might get dragged into organizations that may cross sometimes with alcoholism and people that suffer from alcoholism. You could name all those charities. Just think of churches and soup kitchens and homeless missions, and I could go on. Lots of those people suffer from alcoholism. And lots of people like us, because our big book tells us not only to do service in AA. If there's any message I want to send about service, it's that I hope you're not only doing service in AA. I hope, like the big book says, you've become of maximum service to God and your community and the people about you. But there is a challenge with being of service to those about you in the community. I have to make sure that I'm not wearing my AA hat there. I have to make sure that I'm very careful about what I'll have said about now going back like 5 years ago. I got a message from my, at that time, no, so it's longer, must be 7 years. I was a trustee, and I got a message from my CEO's assistant, who really is the real CEO. For any of you that work in the corporate world, you know that the head administrative assistant for the CEO is, that's the person you keep happy. And she called me and said she wanted to speak to me. And when I called her, she said, Billy, I have good news. So we have this monthly employee newsletter. And every month, we focus and highlight an employee that is doing good work in the community, which is awesome. That's great. But she called me because I did what I was supposed to do when I made myself available for trustee and when I made myself available for director. I sat down with my CEO and let him know that I was thinking about doing this. I let him know the time commitment and that it wouldn't interfere in me getting my job done, but that I might need certain days off. And he was very supportive. So when she called me and told me there was going to be a story in the employee newsletter about all the volunteer work I do for Alcoholics Anonymous, I almost fell off my chair in my office. And, you know, I had to ask her and say, you know, could I come around and speak to you and Bob? Let me know 15 minutes, you both have time. And I had to sit down and explain to them that those two don't cross, that I don't do that to be highlighted in the employee newsletter. The same way I sit on a couple of charity boards or nonprofit boards now. And while people might know I'm in AA, I don't associate my AA membership with the work on those boards. It's totally separate. I want to go to one of my favorite articles about anonymity. And that is on page 205 of Language of the Heart. The title of the story is The Bill W. Hyphen Yale Correspondence. Such an amazing story. Early in 1954, Bill W. declined an honorary Doctor of Laws offered by Yale University. Now remember, Bill dropped out of law school. Following is the correspondence between Bill and Reuben A. Holden, then secretary of the university. This is the letter that Bill got. Dear Mr. W., I enclose a suggested draft of a citation which might be used in conferring upon you the proposed honorary degree on June 7th. If your trustees approve this formula, I should then like to submit it to the Yale Corporation for their consideration. The wording can be considerably improved. We shall work on that during the next few months. And here's Bill's letter to Mr. Holden. This is to express my deepest thanks to the members of Yale for considering me as one suitable for the degree of Doctor of Laws. It is only after the most careful consultation with friends and with my conscience that I now feel obligated to decline such a mark of distinction. Were I to accept, the near-term benefit to Alcoholics Anonymous and to legions who suffer our malady would no doubt be worldwide and considerable. I am sure that such a potent endorsement would greatly hasten public approval of AA everywhere. Therefore, none but the most compelling of reasons could prompt my decision to deny Alcoholics Anonymous an opportunity of this dimension. Now, this is the reason. The tradition of Alcoholics Anonymous, our only means of self-government, entreats each member to avoid that particular kind of personal publication or distinction which might link his name with our society and the general public mind. AA's Tradition 12 reads as follows: Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Because we have already had much practical experience with this vital principle, it is today the view of every thoughtful AA member that if over the years ahead we practice this anonymity absolutely, it will guarantee our effectiveness and unity by heavily restraining those to whom public honors and distinctions are but natural stepping stones to dominance and personal power. How much does that sound like what our big book warns us about? How much does that sound like the step six and seven section of our big book? It will guarantee our effectiveness and unity by heavily restraining those to whom public honors and distinctions are but the natural stepping stones. He says for people like us, that means we love public honors and distinctions. That means people like us can't get enough of them. And he says the tradition of personal anonymity and no honors at the public level is our protective shield. We dare not meet the power temptation naked. And I love how he stresses that this is the same for every tradition. If you break it, the short-term goal might have great results. But in AA, we're not worried about short-term goals. We're worried about long-term effectiveness. And I love how Bill closed that letter. I'm not going to read the whole letter, but I love how he closed it. Though it might be a novel departure, I'm wondering if Yale could consider giving AA itself the entire citation, omitting the degree to me. In such an event, I will gladly appear at any time to receive it on behalf of our society. Should a discussion of this possibility seem desirable to you, I'll come to New Haven at once. And I just want to read He's when the guy wrote back to Bill after getting Bill's denying it, the guy says, "The entire committee begged me to tell you in as general, in a genuine as way as I can, how very deeply they appreciate you considering this invitation as thoroughly and thoughtfully and unselfishly as you have. We understand completely your feelings in this matter, and we only wish there was some way we could show our deep sense of respect for you and AA. Someday the opportunity will surely come." On page 209 is another story that was published in January of 1955, 5 years after the traditions were adopted. It's also one of my favorite. The title is very simple. It's called Why Alcoholics Anonymous is Anonymous. Sound familiar? Such a great title. In it, Bill says this: "Our new book, 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, states that anonymity is the greatest protection our society can ever have. It says also that the spiritual substance of anonymity is sacrifice. At the beginning, we sacrificed alcohol. We had to, or it would have killed us. But we couldn't get rid of alcohol unless we made other sacrifices. Big shotism and phony thinking had to go. We had to toss self-justification, self-pity, and anger right out the window. We had to quit the crazy contest for personal prestige and big bank accounts. We had to take personal responsibility for our sorry state and quit blaming others for it. Were these sacrifices? Yes, they were. To gain enough humility and self-respect to stay alive at all, we had to give up what we had really been our dearest possession, our ambitions, and our illegitimate pride." I want to read that again. "To gain enough humility and self-respect to stay alive at all, we had to give up what had really been our dearest possession, our ambitions, and our illegitimate pride. But even this wasn't enough. Sacrifice had to go much further. Other people had to benefit too. So we took on some 12-step work. We began to carry the AA message. We sacrificed time, energy, and our own money to do this. We couldn't keep what we had unless we gave it away. In other words, for fun and for free. That's what we do here in Alcoholics Anonymous." On page 211, he says, "Gradually we saw that the unity, the effectiveness, yes, even the survival of AA would always depend upon our continued willingness to sacrifice our personal ambitions and desires for the common safety and welfare. Just as sacrifice meant survival for the individual, so did sacrifice mean unity and survival for the group and for AA's entire fellowship. Viewed in this light, AA's 12 traditions are little else than a list of sacrifices, which the experience of 20 years has taught us that we must make individually and collectively if AA itself is to stay alive and healthy. So the organization and the individual need to make sacrifices. It's very clear. I want to tell a quick little story. While I was serving, either as a trustee or a non-trustee director on the AA World Services Board, I got a call to speak at an event. And that event was not an AA event. It was more along the lines of in my professional life as an executive. And the event turned out to be hosted by a very prominent treatment company in the United States and elsewhere, who do good work. But they have a program that's specially deals with executives. And they asked me if I would come speak at their alumni retreat, where executives who have went through their program come back once a year. And they asked me to be the main speaker at their event. And, I turned down that request Because I had to think about it really strong, like I read about in Language of the Heart. Then I had to realize that I was currently a director, or I was a director and a trustee on the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous. That even though I don't break my anonymity, my name is on their tax returns. If you're a director or a trustee, your name is published on those tax returns. So even if my anonymity wasn't quote unquote broken, even if somebody pulled that tax return and didn't know if I was a non-AA or an AA trustee, they would know that someone from AA currently serving on the board spoke at that event. And for me, I made the decision that I didn't need to be there. I did not need to cross over like that. Our number one concern is the person who is not in AA yet on many levels. Remember, if somebody knows that you're in AA publicly, they're going to base everything they know about AA on you. If they or a loved one or a friend or a coworker have a problem with alcoholism, if you're out there screaming from the rooftops, publicly breaking your anonymity, it is all going to be based on you. And this is where we get into, I wouldn't say it's a debate. I think Bill writes clearly about the amount of anonymity that a person decides to have, a personal anonymity, not public anonymity, is their own. I have found that in my work life, I do not need to tell the whole world I'm in AA. Now, because of the nature of my business, and I go to a lot of cocktail parties and a lot of dinners, everybody knows I don't drink. But isn't that the magic question that we all really, at the end of the day, have to ask ourselves? Everybody gets to know we don't drink. But who needs to know why? See, that second group of people is a much smaller group. And even if they find out that I don't drink because I had a problem with alcohol, there's a further peeling of the onion. How did I get sober? Did I get sober through Alcoholics Anonymous? Or one of the thousand other programs you can, or ways you can Google on the internet today? Sure, I have lots of my professional colleagues who know I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I will tell you that it's interesting when I go to large conventions for work that have thousands of people, there's always something on the bulletin board downstairs about friends of Bill. Because a lot of us get to lead successful, productive lives. And it's sometimes hard that AA has given me everything in my life. You only naturally want to tell everybody about it. But I see these projects, like one of them is called wearenotanonymous.org, where they take pictures of all these young kids. You know who I really feel sorry for? The person who may not be a real alcoholic. The person who may be a heavy drinker. And someone in the recovery world convinced them to post their picture and their story. It will always be out there forever. That person, regardless of what we like to say in AA, if you choose to leave AA because you believe you're not an alcoholic, that is not for me to judge. That is your personal decision. But when you start blasting the public internet and other places with pictures of yourself, think about the chapter to the employers. I run my company like that chapter. Anybody I come into contact with that has a problem, I will go to the nth degree to help you, but I will not enable you. If you tell me that you need me to help support your family and you need to go away for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and I help you preserve your job, if a year later you're drinking at the Christmas party and you tell me, oh, I don't think I'm an alcoholic, like that has nothing to do with AA. I live by the chapter to the employers. Our relationship is over. But we have to be very careful with our public anonymity. The internet is filled. The AA name abused all over the place. And it is not hidden. It's not hidden at all. There are major secret Facebook groups that have AA in the name that are used for people in the recovery business to get together and talk, or to help people find where they should go to treatment. Now, I don't care if that's their job. And I'm super respectful of the industry. But using the AA name and your AA membership to lure people, to make people trust you more, that does not fall within the 12th tradition at all. Telling the whole world that you've been sober for 12 years or 15 years, I just don't feel the need, the way I read tradition 12, to personally do that. If I want to celebrate in a secret group of my home group of only AA members and tell them I'm grateful that I have 31 years, so be it. That's my choice. But when we start cutting angles and putting pictures of sobriety coins up on Facebook and sending them out to the whole public, not just to our NAA friends list, as Bill says, it's the same as Bill's story. The short-term benefit may be great, but the long-term effectiveness of AA may be damaged. It's one of the reasons that Tradition 9 is so tied to Tradition 12. Although I would love to tell you the reason we have rotation in AA service is so that we could get more people to do more of the jobs, that's really not the reason. The reason we rotate in AA service is for the things I read about you that Bill wrote, so that none of us are permanent leaders in Alcoholics Anonymous whatsoever. That's the reason we have rotation first and foremost. I can tell you that I recently was talking to a corrections chair. And the former corrections chair is not rotating and is still communicating with the facility, and it's causing all kinds of problems. But you know what the biggest problem it's causing is? The people at the facility, they're not really upset with the former corrections chair who's causing all the confusion. They lump everybody into the AA bucket. They just know that AA is a problem right now. And that's why humility is so important. We're a group of people that no matter what job we get, we wanted another job in AA. That's just who we are usually. And we usually think we could do the other person's job better than us. This all falls into personal sacrifice. If you've never seen the pamphlet, I know a lot of you have, the Traditions Illustrated. There's a great sign in Tradition 12 on the side of a building that could look like GSO that talks about personal sacrifice. that everything we do in AA is supposed to be out of sacrifice. That is actually a really good test to ask yourself. Is this AA or is it not? But if you're at an AA event and you have any other motive to be there, it's not AA. Including me. Let's just say that somebody in my industry goes to a meeting and I hear about it. And I think, wow, I would love them as a client. Maybe I should go to that meeting. Maybe I should go to fellowship after and hang out with that person. But the minute I do that, it's not AA. No different than the peer support counselor who talks to people in my home group parking lot and uses that parking lot as a way to get people into intensive outpatient. We don't do that. We sacrifice all personal and professional ambition when it comes to Alcoholics Anonymous. The other thing I want to say in my last couple of minutes is that we don't write reference letters in Alcoholics Anonymous. Individuals can write reference letters. But and say your AA title on it, even if your title is member. Once you bring your AA membership title into effect, you are joining AA to that outside cause. You are linking it to an outside project. It's why our corrections committees don't write letters to judges. All we do is say some groups, it's their choice. We're willing to sometimes sign a form to say you came to AA. But we as AA members don't tell somebody what kind of AA you are. Where, you know, what step you're on. It's none of our business. And my experience is that when everything in AA is convenient, convenience and sacrifice don't fall in the same sentence for me. There's lots of things I do in AA that are convenient. I'll be very honest. There are certain meetings I love to go to. They're convenient. I like their coffee. I like the speakers they choose. It works for my schedule. Doesn't mean it's not AA, but it's convenient. We really feel part of AA when we're sacrificing something else. The great Tom I used to always say, you know, a lot of people would always say, you never say no to an AA request. Tom I would say that's the most ridiculous thing he ever heard. You never say no to an AA request because of personal comfort or convenience. That's the real question. Are you saying no to an AA request because of personal comfort and convenience? Then never say no. But if you're saying no, because let's just give an example. See, sacrifice can go both ways. Let's just say wherever you all live, there's a once a month big Saturday night speaker meeting, right? And everybody in AA wants to speak at that meeting. You have arrived when you speak at that meeting. When you speak at the meeting, your street cred is big. But what about if you told your boss you would work that night? And all of a sudden someone calls you. Well, we don't cancel work for AA ego trips. No. we've become good, productive members of society. And the reason we've learned how to keep commitments in AA is because it learned and taught us the importance of keeping commitments in the rest of our life. That's why commitments in AA are so important. But we don't say no for personal comfort and convenience. I still am very, I couldn't help myself. I'm just admitting it. If you want it, I'll not even going to say the name of what I watched, but I shouldn't have. I knew better. I said to myself, don't watch it the other night. I watched it. Couldn't help myself, It's like a package of Oreos. The same reason I don't buy Oreos is the same reason I shouldn't have hit watch on Amazon Prime. But I had to. I just said my mind was driving me crazy. And I'm so sick of watching shows about people new in recovery because I know at the end of the show, somebody's going to die. And that by the time that movie was produced, I'm going to watch a minister at a service in South Florida for a person I saw sitting in a car, not with somebody for fun and for free. And I think to myself, and then I watch as someone who broke their anonymity with their last name and their full face. Later on, it's disclosed, that they weren't sober anymore. And I think about, I can't help it. I got sober young, so I don't have the experience, of being married 20 years and drinking all that time and having a wife send me to AA. I have the experience of my mother. It's the only one I have. And what breaks my heart is when I think of another mother or father who has a child like me, watching that documentary and thinking, oh my God, this person that's supposed to be helping people has been not sober the whole time. And seeing their face and seeing their last name. We do this for fun and for free without personal recognition. The last thing I want to read, and hopefully I can find it quickly in my notes. I'm trying to really, I have so many AA references that I have, is something, if you're familiar with the service manual, there's a section why we need a conference. It's one of the greatest couple of paragraphs in the service manual. The man who wrote that, Bernard Smith, I also want to read you what he wrote in 1953 in his report at the Third General Service Conference. He said the following. Let us talk about the concept of anonymity. I can remember when the reason for the name Alcoholics Anonymous was based on the fear of human beings to admit to the world that they had once been afflicted with alcoholism. Yet, within a relatively short space of time, the word anonymity as a device to hide one's past as an alcoholic has disappeared. I know of no alcoholics in AA who are today not proud of their affiliation with the society. The concept of anonymity today means to all of us the humility that comes with the willingness to serve without hope of gain or recognition or reward. If only all of society, human society could accept this concept of humility as we practice it in serving humanity. If only the willingness to serve based on our concept of anonymity, instead for reasons of pride or social distinction, how much richer society would be. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for being out here tonight on July 4th. And see you all soon. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Billy. While we are passing the virtual basket, if you guys would please go ahead and submit your questions through the chat. Billy, are you okay if they send them directly to you, or would you be more comfortable
either one doesn't matter. Okay, I got one
perfect.
Here.
Perfect. All right. Perfect. Okay. So we will now pass the virtual basket in observance of AA7 tradition. The monetary amount of each contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that joins us in unity with AA groups around the world. It is our hope to help ensure a permanent haven for all alcoholics not yet born to find in AA that rebirth that brought us back to life. And embracing AA's fourth tradition, which states that each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole, this group contributes anything outside its prudent reserve that's held for operating expenses to the General Service Board, Area 15, District 6, and Central Office in Indian River County. These contributions are adjusted based on the expressed need of these service entities and their effectiveness in making 12-step work possible for us to carry the message. And I'll go ahead and stick that information in the chat for you guys. Normally, we put a share screen up, but we wanted to maximize the use of this time today, and it is our first Sunday only that we're doing this. So I will put that in the chat and also a link that you guys have been asking for this information regarding some of the reference material that Billy has spoke about. We'll see if he'll share it with us, and we'll put it in there along with the recording for you guys to access. Again, thank you, Billy, and those pictures were beautiful that you shared at the beginning, so thank you so much. And I'll go ahead and let you get started on that first question, and I'll send any of them that I get.
Thank you very much. First question. As the DCM, I ask our registrar to write the names of the attendees at our virtual monthly district meeting with position, first name, and last initial only. Then the registrar emails the list to me at the end of the meeting. This takes place of signing in person on the roster. GSR says, question one, it appears personal anonymity is being infringed, which I disagree with because it was not posted anywhere. Question one, is this okay to do? Question two, he asked me if this was voted on okay to do. Your thoughts? Well, my thoughts are that in last name, in service, we're not secret from each other. Number one, it's okay to put our last names on a list. At the General Service Conference, you say your first and last name because those recordings are for archival purposes only, not for later being transmitted as, you know, for sale or everywhere else. But we need to use our last names in service. Here's where I think we fail. If you are someone that comes into possession of last names, you have an immense spiritual responsibility. If everybody in service, we should be careful with AA email lists and maybe start to learn how to use blind card BCCs, you know, blind carbon copies. And we should just be very careful with that information. But it is not wrong to use last names in service. But again, if your district or area takes first name and last initial, that's up to them. Let's see. Dee, do you have any questions?
I sent you one over. I don't have anything at the moment. Please send questions though now if you guys have them. Thank you.
Let me look. Well, not specifically related to personal anonymity. Can you ask Billy if there are guidelines or AA direction on groups, intergroups, or even as I see some national service structures having Facebook pages, and how does members liking these pages sit with spiritual principles? Yes. I don't know what country you live in, but in the USA and Canada, we have a couple of things. You might want to write public information at AA.org, or you might want to ask your local area PI chair. But we have a lot of guidelines in the PI workbook and anonymity at the public level and digital anonymity that talks about password protected websites and talks about secret groups and liking things on secret groups and using your last name. But let's face it, the biggest problem with secret groups is the recovery world that wants everybody to be all in one group. A secret group is only anonymous if it's members of AA. like all these other lists I see, these secret groups for Zoom, NA, AA, CA, whatever. If you're breaking your anonymity in there, that's not an AA group. But yes, please write the public information at AA.org or your area, or email me and I will help get you in contact with who you need to talk to. I've noticed AA so-called clubs wear two hats, one of AA and one of the club, so-and-so, and then they say they don't have to follow traditions. So it's a, God. Here's my suggestion about it. Let's just first talk about the real world. When clubhouses started, there was only one fellowship. Let's just start there. We didn't have to worry. And then a second fellowship, Al-Anon, appeared, who sometimes met at clubhouses. But the average clubhouse today is a gathering place of multiple fellowships. Thank God. I want people to get help from whatever fellowship they need. Most club bylaws, though, are so old that they say they try to follow the 12 traditions of AA whenever they can. Yes, clubs are not AA. Sometimes they try to observe the AA traditions, yes. But the way I read it, it's impossible for a club to break a tradition because they're not AA. But yet, since their number one client or tenant is 12-step fellowships who all have a principle of anonymity, clubs try to be respectful of those principles. That's what I see. Does it go against the 12th tradition if someone lists without mentioning AA at all volunteer work they have done in an AA meeting on a resume, or at least so long as they don't mention specifics? I wrote a letter for a sponsee for the nursing program. Listen, we're talking about personal gain or reward. I sit on the board of a very large nonprofit right now. There is no doubt that the 8 years I served on the AA World Services Board, having nothing to do with AA, having served as a board member there, knowing fiduciary responsibility, knowing what it's like to look at financials, knowing what it's like to search for a new CEO, all things that boards find useful. I'm not telling anyone that service work they've done in AA, I would never tell somebody you can't put that on a resume, ever. I would tell them not to put it on it for the wrong reason. I would tell you that I have a professional license in 21 states. And when someone asks about why my background changes drastically at age 24, why before age 24, my fingerprint report is a mess, and after page 24, it's a different story. I say things like, the way I was living no longer worked. I had to find a new way to live. But I don't think there's, I really don't think, it's about sacrifice, and it's about, are you trying to be recognized or gain reward? But if you learned, I learned how to use QuickBooks in AA. That's not a joke. I learned how to use Excel on a young people's committee. I learned how to use not even Word, but Word Perfect. So really dating myself on an AA committee. I can't remove some of the real world experience I've gained in AA. The question is, what purpose am I using it for? So, let's see. Next question. Dr. Bob in the Good Old Timers, page 264, comments on maintaining level at the level of press, radio, and film. Anything below that is breaking the tradition just as much. Does that mean in AA we all should be using our last names I always use last name unless it is being recorded. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I understand it, we are not sacrificing accolades. We are breaking the spiritual principle of anonymity. Could you say a few words on this?
Well, what I would say is, and again, I want to be clear, I'm not talking about recordings. I'm talking about at a meeting. Especially a closed meeting. You can call yourself whatever you want. If you like saying your first name and your last name, have at it. If you like saying just your name, have at it. There are certain countries of the world where anonymity is so prized that those members choose the name of a mammal or an animal. That's what they use in the meeting. I can't say it in their language, but they would be saying something like, my name is Giraffe. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Lion. Bill makes very clear, personal anonymity is up to each and every member. But I would say being practical inside a home group, it is good getting to know people. The old joke, I can't find Serenity Sam in the emergency room, right? I can't visit Serenity Sam, who's in the cardiac unit. I can't go to the front desk and say, where's Serenity Sam? Now, the good news is, because of how crazy we are, usually you can say Serenity Sam because you're like the 30th person in AA who has tortured the person that day at the hospital, and they have figured out who Serenity Sam is. But personal anonymity really falls to the individual. Can a photo or a last name go on a flyer for a speaker meeting used only for AA meetings? No. No. A photo of what? I mean, what is it a picture of? We're going to put a picture of, I don't know, the Yankees symbol when I speak? I don't know. What are we going to put a picture of? No, we don't. We don't put pictures. We don't put pictures of members. We don't make like marquee flyers. Would you put pictures on a flyer that was on a table? No, because you don't know where that flyer is going to go. You don't know where it could wind up. So when somebody creates a PDF, I don't care even if they're saying they would never send it to someone not in AA. Would you create a paper flyer with someone's picture on it? No. Not at all. We don't put pictures on flyers. And there's an advisory action that even in a closed meeting, we don't use cameras during meetings. Even if you're going to post the picture in a private group, even if you're going to only show other people in AA, during the meeting, and there is a current advisory action on this, and why is that? Because the newcomer who thinks AA is anonymous doesn't need to see someone taking pictures or a video. It sends the wrong message to a newcomer who wants to be safe. Next question. If the possible future includes Zoom, how can we protect this tradition? Well, I really think it is important to be practical. And I know that not just in AA, but everywhere, sometimes common sense isn't common, right? We all know that. We say common sense, but then we realize it's not common. It is so important to compare Zoom to a regular meeting. Let's just say that one of you right now is using a recording equipment to record the video of this meeting. That could happen in a church basement. I can't stop people who are doing what they're not supposed to be doing. So no one's supposed to be recording this. Now, I personally have had to take some action against YouTube when my last name has appeared because someone else put it up there. I would see in the future, I think we are coming to a time when people, when they're recorded, are going to give a disclaimer. That's what I believe. I'm almost to that point for myself now, where I would say in the meeting I'm being recorded, I am not giving permission to anyone in this meeting or outside this meeting permission to use my voice or my likeness or my video anywhere without my express written permission. I hate to think that we're coming to that, but we're pretty close to there now. Because people think they can just post everybody's without asking them their permission. But I would hate to see Zoom go away because we're worried about people doing what they're not supposed to be doing. I think we have to keep reinforcing last names and no last names. We don't use last names when we're being recorded. I also think we have to be careful of hybrid meetings. If your hybrid meeting shows anyone else besides the speaker or chairperson, then you need to have in your script at the beginning of the meeting, letting everyone in that meeting know that it's possible their likeness could be broadcast on Zoom. And why is that? Well, because if I go to my first AA meeting and I see my neighbor's car outside or I see my boss's car, I have the ability to turn around. I have the ability to go to whatever meeting I think is safe. So if we're going to start showing clubhouses and sober houses and everything else, we should be letting those members know very clearly. This happened a long time ago. It became an issue after there were a lot of school shootings. A lot of schools installed closed circuit TV. And who meets in a lot of schools? AA. And what happened in one group? The church was robbed. And so what did the church do? They called the police. And what did the police do? They said, do you have cameras here? And they said, of course. They said, let us see your videotape. Now they found the person who broke into the church, which had nothing to do with AA. But while they were looking through that tape, they noticed that there was a member of AA who was a registered sex offender who attended a meeting. And registered sex offenders are not allowed in schools. And so they arrested that individual. So what did that group do? If you go into like a Denny's or somewhere and you see them mopping the floors, you ever see those like yellow kind of V's that sit on the floor and say wet floor? I've been to this group. They have a circle with a Ghostbusters red line through it showing cameras. And it says, be aware, you know, this property has closed circuit TV. I just think we have a duty to let newcomers know if their likeness is being broadcast to people they can't see. And in some of the hybrid meetings I've been to, you can't always tell that the meeting is hybrid, especially a speaker meeting. There's a small little thing on the podium. What about the anonymity of past members, even Bill and Bob on flyers or even coins? Well, we don't use Bill and Bob on flyers. At the General Service Conference, we don't use Bill and Bob's pictures. We don't give them to people anymore outside of AA. If someone passes away, it is up to the family. Only the family to make the decision if anonymity is going to be protected or not. The obituary is up to the family. And sometimes I think we're so selfish about this. I hear people get on their tradition's high horse, but they can't believe they read an obituary and it mentioned the person was in AA. But I would just remind all of us, if you're that family and your whole family dynamic was changed because your loved one got sober in AA, they're not trying to hurt anybody. Most of the time, they're just paying thanks and respect. But the current conference advisory action is that we never break an AA member's anonymity, including Bill and Bob's after they died. We only let the family do it or tell us it's okay. But AA will never do it. I've never been comfortable with showing full faces in our PSAs because, as you just said, it sent the wrong message. We can say that anyone who is full face is shown as an actor, but what do people remember? Not the statement, but the image. I get it. And I also worry about, what about if that person one day becomes a member of AA? Do we have a test for these actors in our PSAs? Do we make sure they don't drink at all and have no family history of alcoholism? Like, what happens if one of them becomes a member of AA? I couldn't agree more. With Google search being so extensive now, and with first, last initials on websites as speakers, is that not breaking others' anonymity? As the speaker, is it appropriate to request the name not be listed on flyers and websites? Yes, you could do that. It's fine. It's really up to the committee. If the speaker says they don't want the name on a flyer, you get to decide if you want them to speak. I mean, really, it's up to the group conscience of that committee or that meeting. But yes, first name and last initials. It doesn't take but a few searches to figure things out. Am I violating anonymity by posting in an online Facebook group with the name of AA meetings? I don't understand that question. If it's a secret Facebook group, if you're putting AA meetings in there, meetings are not anonymous, by the way. Meeting locations are not anonymous. AA members are anonymous. We want the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous to be as visible as possible without attaching it up to any of us individuals. I do the prison meeting here. The chaplain wanted to pick for that newsletter. So we all held our big books in front of our faces. Congratulations. That's awesome. That is awesome. That's like the famous Lone Ranger picture from Akron back in the day. That's awesome. What are your favorite resources for learning more about the traditions in addition to Language of the Heart and AA Comes of Age? I love Not God, even though it's not published by us, because you can learn a lot about our traditions from our history. I also love Traditions Illustrated. I also really love the original Traditions essays, which are on the AA Grapevine digital archives, because those essays are a little bit more direct and to the point than the essays in the 12 and 12. And I'll also say this. It's like throwing a Joe and Charlie CD, which you can't even say anymore. Does anyone even have CDs anymore? But you throw a CD into the car. Have you really done the steps? No, you just listen to good speakers who might help you understand some more about the steps. Same with the traditions. If you take advantage of our literature and remain an active member of AA, you'll build up a memory bank of experiences of positive and negative tradition experiences. And that's the best way to learn. Do you think Bill and Bob would disapprove that their picture are now on medallions? Is this contrary to our tradition? Bill and Bob whatever we want to say, are in a unique category. I sometimes laugh when I think about the first time Bill saw Dr. Bob's gravesite and the headstone, that it just said Dr. Bob Smith or Robert Holsom, whatever. I laugh that it doesn't say AA, co-founder, nothing. But then what did the cemetery do 60 years later? Created a wall where you can buy a brick and put your name on it. I know that Dr. Bob would not want that, for sure. Like that, Dr. Bob clearly didn't want. I've been to both grave sites. They're both plain graves. I don't fault people with Bill and Bob on the coin. It's out of respect and reverence. I get it. But I'm also a person who doesn't think that Bill and Bob would be upset that AA's going down a slippery slope and is going to end because it's been watered down. I don't believe that either. I mean, a couple of years ago, right now, 6 years ago, I was sitting in the stadium in Atlanta. That's where I was. I believe that if Bill and Bob came out of their graves for an hour and sat in the back of that stadium, they would have tears in their eyes when they saw how many countries and how many different people and how many different religions and how many different races and how many different cultures. I think it's beyond belief. I heard you talk about trademark of the circle and triangle in another talk. Can you talk about why we as members of AA don't do that? I'm seeing that a lot more lately. Well, you can use the circle and triangle, but three specific groups don't use it. The General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, AA World Services, Inc., and the AA Grapevine. We do not enforce our trademark on that circle and triangle. Everybody else uses it. AA, not AA. Lots of people use it. That's an individual group conscience decision. The thing you can't use is the blue people on our website. That is trademarked, and that copyright is trademarked. And the reason for that is so that an individual going to a website, that means that's an official General Service Board, AAWS, AA Grapevine, something if the blue people is on it. No general service area, no intergroup, no district has permission to use the blue people. I wrote a letter for a sponsee for the nurses program. Should I not have done that? Listen, if you wrote a letter as an individual, I don't think there is anything wrong with it. I really don't. If you wrote a member as a member of an AA group, that I would think goes the same as writing a reference letter as being on a corrections committee. But I don't think there's anything wrong with writing a letter for an individual that is a friend of yours. But when I write those letters, I make them less about AA and more about their life today. Like, what kind of person and life are they living today? So, any other questions? We have 3 minutes. What are the blue people? If you go to AA.org, AlcoholicsAnonymous.org, AA.org, whatever, you will see this kind of shadowy sketch of blue people going across the website. And it's like an old person, a young person, a man, a woman, a person with a cane, a person in a wheelchair. It's meant to symbolize the inclusiveness of Alcoholics Anonymous. That is the group people, the blue people. I wrote mine wrong regarding the circle and triangle. I meant to write why we don't wear anything, hat, jewelry, sweatshirt with circle and triangle. There's no rule on that. But again, when you think about tradition 12, if the whole world knows AA is circle and triangle, I don't know if anybody here has ever heard my very good friend Bobby C. from, oh yeah, Dale is here. I have a very good friend who used to be president of Philadelphia Intergroup. His name is Bobby C. Bobby was a Philadelphia police officer. And I love when he talks about that until he got into AA, he thought certain slogans were just stupid things that people who like to drive like crazy put on their car. Like he thought like people who speeded a lot, you know, had slogans on their car, like take it easy, you know, or all kinds of things. I think we have to be careful when we broadcast that circle and triangle. If you know people think it's AA, then everything you do is going to be based on AA. Everything you do. Is it so inclusive? Why close at the prayer of one religion? Great question. And you're going to get a million different answers on this. There is an official service piece. You can get it on AA.org on the Lord's Prayer. More and more groups don't use it because AA isn't 90% Judeo-Christian anymore. If you're late coming to a meeting and you see a bunch of people in a church basement holding in a circle saying the Lord's Prayer, that looks kind of religious. But it's our history. For me, I was in a correctional facility that did not use the Lord's Prayer in our group, because certain members of another religion wouldn't come to the group if we did, so we chose not to use it. I think the only time we get into trouble with this is when we want to subvert the group conscience. Or when someone doesn't want to hold hands and is minding their business outside the circle, when one of us feels we need to walk up to them and say, hey, how come you don't pray with us? Because then my question to you would be, how did you know they're not praying? Just because they weren't praying the way you pray or not saying the same prayer as you? But the Lord's Prayer has been said forever in AA. In some places, it's still the custom. In some places, you don't hear it at all.